number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty act. Lay it down. Smack on jack.
Oh, God. Night time. The right time. You know the night. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
If we die, we die together.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive. Recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Night time on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio.
Is now.
Got to be.
This is what we do.
From the Quick and Loan studios, here's Tony D.
So our question this hour, if you'd like to participate in our show poll, you can do it by phone, Facebook, or Twitter. Which team lost worse this week? The Cleveland Browns on the block field goal or the Detroit Lions on the Hail Mary? I'm thinking the Browns, but I can't help but think the Lions only because that face mask call gave the Packers new life when the game was won. I'm going back and forth on this one, but I'm leaning towards the Browns because that both of them are very a low percentage outcomes, right? I mean, how many times do we see block field goal return for touchdown wins game? Never. Hail Marys I've seen before, but Hail Marys that were given new life because of a face mask penalty, yeah, that's pretty bad. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. So that is our question of the night. If you want, again, you can do it three ways if you want to participate. You can call us, you can tweet us at Tony D Radio, or hit us up on our Facebook page, or you can leave a comment, Tony D Radio Show. Check us out there. And if you haven't liked our page, like our page. You won't regret it. I swear, there's no money in it for you. And we don't give away cash and prizes. But you'll be part of our community here of the Insomniacs on Sports Radio. That'd be a good name for a band. Not one. College championship games this weekend. My wife does not want to watch the SEC title game. I am convincing her that she has to watch the SEC title game. Because I told her, I said, and follow my logic on this, Adam. I told her, you're not a fan unless you're willing to go through the pain.
Right.
It's. I said, you're not really a fan if you're not willing. Like, she's never had... where the Gators have been in a major game, like a major SEC title game or a major bowl game, where she was 100% sure they were going to get killed. Never. With Tebow, she always knew that they were either going to win or have a fighting chance. Bowl games, she always felt like they had a fighting chance because they were playing a non-SEC team. This is the first time, I think, in our 17 years of marriage where the Gators are in a major game. Now, they've had bad years. Right? They've had bad, terrible years, but she's never seen them in a major, major game where she is 100% sure they're going to get killed and she doesn't want to watch. And I told her, it's not going to cut it with me. You have to watch. She said, our town's tree lighting ceremony is Saturday night, though. We can't watch the game. Ah, ha, ha, ha. No, we will watch the game. I told her, you have to. Because what happens if the Florida Gators win that game and you're at a tree lighting ceremony, for Christ's sake? You can't give that away. You can't lie, because we've all done it. Where our team's done something magical and we didn't get a chance to see it and go, oh, did you see it? Oh yeah, I saw it. Nah, I told you couldn't do that. I told her to live with the pain. Alabama and Derrick Henry. Probably going to run over you. Florida's defense is very good, but it'll probably be worn out. Because the offense, every time it's on the field, is going to be on the field for about 30 seconds. And then it's going to be quick punt, and the defense is going to be back out there. And eventually the Alabama Crimson Tide will wear them down. And people are saying, well, here are ways Florida can win the game. How is the SEC going to allow Florida to win this game?
They can't.
No chance. You think the SEC is just going to sit by quietly while the Gators are threatening Alabama? Like, again, this is NASCAR throwing a yellow flag for debris. There'll be a personal foul penalty in the fourth quarter somewhere in this game that you'll go, what? And everyone will say, well, yeah, look, it's obvious. And you'll go, no, it's not. And that's where they get you. Listen to me throwing out the conspiracy accusation already before the game's even started. How in the world will the SEC be if they don't have a team in the playoff? Will they disband? Will they secede from college football?
I think they might try. At least the fans will demand it.
Let me tell you right now, if the SEC, if Alabama loses, and the SEC is kept out of this college football playoff, which they will. Let's not throw an if out there. Florida ain't getting in. I am heading to Hoover, Alabama in July. And I will sit there and enjoy 4 or 5 days of SEC media days that'll be nonstop complaining. I will love it. Front and center to that circus. It's already a zoo. I can only imagine if all those coaches were being asked, and all the new coaches too, like Kirby Smart and the guy they just promoted in Missouri, the defensive coordinator, Odin. All being asked about it, and they all have to toe the company line. Well, I think that's an outrage. We play in the toughest conference in college football. There's no way a team of ours or a champion of ours is not one of the top teams in college football. If they're looking for the top teams in college football, the idea that our conference would be left out is a real travesty, in my opinion. Nah, that'd be great. Florida's got no chance, but I told my wife, you can't do this as a fan. You have to put up with it. Listen, let me tell you a quick story about South Carolina was in the when South Carolina was in the SEC title game a couple years ago. I have been waiting my entire adult life for South Carolina to play in the SEC title game. They joined the conference in the early 90s, and I never thought I'd ever see them in the SEC title game. Well, the night that they were playing was the night the Denver, we were living in Denver at the time, the Denver Christmas parade was happening. And we promised our kids we would take them. So I was really torn. And my wife said, I know this is a big game for you. You do not have to go with us to the Christmas parade. I will take the kids. Plus, not only were she was taking our kids, she was taking our kid's friend. So it was three little kids going to this Denver Christmas parade. It's at night. It's in the city. I couldn't live with myself. I said, you know what? I'll tape the game. I'll stay off my phone. I'll watch the parade. As soon as we get back to the house, I'll watch it from scratch. I hate DVRing sports, by the way. It's the worst. But I was willing to do this for this game. So we get to downtown Denver. We go along the streets for the parade route. We find a spot. And we settle in. Right across the street is a diner. I think it was Sam's Number 3 downtown in Denver, if you're familiar. It was a diner. The diner was it had all glass, like it's just glass windows were in front of the diner. And I'm across the street. I'm not next to it, across the street. And I can see the TV is on the football game. Okay? But I'm watching the parade. I'm getting ready with my kids watching the parade. You know how parades work. You got to get there like way ahead of time before the parade even starts so you can get a good spot. So we're watching it. Across the street, I can see that there's TV and the TV's got football. I'm staying off my phone because I know my friends are going to text me and I know Twitter's going to be a buzz and Facebook. I got to stay away from this stuff. I do not want to know the score. I've got it on DVR. The only thing I notice, and I can barely see the TV, but I can just make it out. The only thing I notice is that one of the teams is kicking off a lot. It's the only thing I can tell. I don't know what color uniforms Auburn is wearing. I don't know what color uniforms South Carolina is wearing. I've completely stayed away from the game. I did not know anything about it. All I knew was that one team seemed to be kicking off a lot. That's all I had. And I sat there the whole parade, and I kid you not, I kept going, I bet you that team is Auburn. And I just had this feeling in my stomach the whole parade, like, this is a blowout. And now I don't know how or what the score is, and I don't even know if it's Auburn that's kicking off a lot, but I just can sense that the game is out of control, completely out of control. Now, at this point, I'm a diehard South Carolina guy. That's my school. That's where I went. That's why I put up with bad football. But even then, knowing Cam Newton, I just thought, what's more likely? South Carolina's offense is racking up the points against Auburn, or Heisman Trophy leader in the clubhouse, Cam Newton, lighting up the South Carolina defense? My brain was going, you know that's Cam Newton. You know that is Auburn kicking off all the time because they're putting up points. It was a long drive home. I just knew. Sat down, started the DVR, and I knew immediately that my intuition was right. And it stunk. But though, you know what stunk the worst? Is that as much as I love taking my kids to the Christmas parade, and they loved the Christmas parade, and it was great, and all of that, and I was a good dad, the thing that bothered me was I didn't share that moment in real time with my South Carolina brethren, the people I went to college with, the guys I stayed in touch with all these years, where we could have tweeted back and forth or texted back and forth our misery, anger, shame, and just disgust. Instead, I was watching it at 11:30 at night on my DVR. Stinks. I told her, you're not doing the same thing. Watch the game. Forget the tree lining ceremony. You'll regret it if they win the game. 800-777-2907. Again, our question of the night. Which team lost worse this week, the Lions or the Browns? Let's reset real quick. The Lions lost on a Hail Mary by Aaron Rodgers. The Browns lost on a blocked field goal at the last second that was returned for a touchdown. Who had it worse, Detroit or Cleveland? Hit us up on Facebook at Tony D Radio Show, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, or 800-777-2907. Back after this on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Right, glad to be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we take you through the night tonight. Sorry, I got a last minute swig of water. God, I feel like I've got a cold coming. It's that time of year again. It's going to be 22 degrees when I wake up this morning. Do you know that? 22 in Nashville.
Whoa, that's cold.
Oh. Sweet Lord. We went to go buy a Christmas tree tonight, which was, oh God. I'm so glad the industry has given us fake trees. Cause one year I'll convince my wife that fake trees are the way to go. And I will not have to do this every single year going to pick out a Christmas tree from the local Christmas tree tent that's outside Home Depot. Do this every single year. Tonight, I wanted to take the kids out for pizza. So we went to a pizza place, and the lady behind the counter, she says, we're a little busy tonight with some to-go orders. We go to this place a lot. She says, man, it's like a 30-minute wait for pizza. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, can we order now? We're going to go run an errand, and we'll be right back in 30 minutes. And she goes, yeah, that's great. Perfect. So we ordered the food. We go up to go look at trees. My wife picks the perfect tree, she says. And she's the one that gets the tree. She takes off the thing. She wants them, fat and wide and all that. So I'm like, oh, okay. So she finds the perfect tree. Where there's a line of people, a couple people that are, this one poor kid behind the counter. He's got to trim the tree and he's got to wrap it up and bag it and then help people put it on their cars and help them drive away, get them to drive away. So I told her, I said, we don't have time. Our pizza's done in like 10 minutes we're waiting in line here. Why don't I ask the guy if we can put the tree away, if he can hold it for us, let's go get the pizza, let's go eat, and we'll come back and we'll pick up the tree. She says, all right. So we go tell the guy. Guy says, yeah, sure, leave it. So we go leave to go to the pizza place. She says to me, if that tree is not there when we get back, you better call in because you aren't doing a show tonight. Because I will make you stay in that tent until we find the right tree. I will go through every tree they have to get the right tree. I said, no. It'll be there. I talked to the guy. It's behind the counter. It's fine. She goes, no, I mean it. That was a perfect tree. And I said, no, it'll be all fine. So we go, we eat. We're eating again. Now, 20 minutes into the meal, she goes, you better hope that tree's there. I'm not kidding. When we get back and it's not there, I will look through every single tree. We drive to Home Depot, we get out of the car. We walk in. She goes, guess what? I don't see that tree. It's not where you left it. I went, no, it's fine. It's there. See, they put it somewhere. I don't know. She goes, I don't see it. I do not see that tree. I go, honey, it's there. It's perfect. Don't worry about it. She goes in there. The guy's not around. She goes, I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. So you know what I did?
What was that?
I grabbed a tree that looked just like the tree and went, it's right here. It's right here. She looked at it and she went, are you sure? This doesn't quite look like the tree. And I went, no, this is the tree. This is the tree you want. Nah, I'm not sure about that. I don't think so. It looks like, I go, look, it's got the tag on it. Same tag. It's the same size. It's the same thing. This is where it is. She goes, all right, if you're sure. Sure enough, the guy comes back and he goes, oh, sir, I got your tree. It's over here. I put it over here for you. My wife looked at me like, I'm going to kill you. She goes, when we get home, I'm going to kill you. And I don't mean like, oh, I'm going to kill you. I mean like call the funeral home, make arrangements, try to cover up the track CSI style so I don't get arrested. You're dead. Because I tried to con her that the tree was there when it wasn't. Oh, I was so thankful. I told the kids as we were walking away and I said, I want this to be a lesson to both of you. Getting the perfect tree, that's what Christmas is all about. Goodwill towards man, all that stuff. No. Getting the perfect tree is what Christmas is all about. So that when your friends come over, they're envious that you have the best looking tree on the lot. Don't you worry. That's the way it goes. That's where we are. Now we're going to decorate it tomorrow. And by the way, that thing was covered in sap.
Oh, that's the worst thing about
worst
about it.
And of course my wife doesn't, she's not carrying the tree. Right, my son and I are carrying the tree into the house. Covered in sap. Stuff is all over the floor. It's got to hang. You got to like let it sit. You can't just decorate it immediately. You got to let gravity kind of bring a tree down a little bit. Christmas. Fake trees. Way to go. I love technology. We'll talk Iowa football for the first time all year. Tom Cakert will join us from Rivals next.
Tony D on the Third Shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio, and we've been looking ahead to the conference championship games coming up this weekend, the SEC, ACC, and of course the Big Ten, where Iowa will be taking on Michigan State in Indianapolis. How are the Hawkeyes? They are 12-0. They are ranked fourth in the country. Let's get a better insight onto exactly what's going with Iowa with Tom Cakert. He covers the Hawkeyes for Hawkeye Report, part of the Rivals.com network. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right, if you look at this team and somebody says to you, all right, the Iowa Hawkeyes, what is it? What is their signature? What is their defining characteristic? What would it be?
Well, I think they're just steady is maybe the word that I would use to describe them. If it's one word, it's just steady. They do their job. They do it well. They're not flashy. They're just kind of lunch pail, hardworking guys that have come together with one purpose, and really just—it's pretty amazing what they've been able to do. I mean, they haven't trailed in a game since the Illinois game back in October, so they've just gotten the job done every week.
They've been in a couple of close games. They seem to be a team that's very well disciplined. Is this an older team? Is this a senior laden team, or is this just the hallmark of Kirk Ferentz and what he does there?
I think they have some key seniors, the interior of the offensive line, two seniors there in Austin Blythe, one of the team leaders, and also Jordan Walsh, who was the first team All-Big Ten player this year. But it's kind of crazy because the vast majority of this team's back next year. I mean, they've got a chance to do something pretty good, obviously, this year. And then even next year, they don't lose a whole lot.
Tom, when it comes to their schedule, people have said, well, they haven't played the toughest schedule, but that doesn't mean you can't pass the eye test. What has been impressive about the way they've won games this year?
You know, they've put people away, and they've won games in the second half and just, found a way to get things done. You look at last week against Nebraska, they get two third-quarter long touchdown runs from Jordan Kinzeri and kind of put that game away. You look back to the Wisconsin game where they make a big play in a goal line and recover a fumble and win up in Madison 10-6. The Pitt game, they get a last second drive, and C.J. Beathard, the quarterback, scrambles for 8 yards, sets up Marshall Kane for a 57-yard game winner. They've just the Iowa State game, they're tie game about 5 minutes left, and they score twice in the last 5 minutes and win comfortably then 31-17. I mean, they just they found a way to win every game, and it's really never felt like they've been threatened in some of these games, even though the outcome might be a little closer than you think.
The running game for Iowa, Jordan Kinzeri, as you brought up earlier, is he a breakout runner? Is he burst through the line for 30, 40 yards, or is he just sort of eat away at your defensive front?
Yeah, they've got really three backs, but Kinzeri got the call last week. They kind of go with a hot hand, and last week it was Kinzeri who went for 140 yards. He had a 68-yard touchdown run and a 29-yard touchdown run, so it was those two big plays that amounted for most of his yardage, but he's a guy who can get to the outside. They run that kind of that zone blocking scheme, and he gets that outside zone and just goes. And they've got great fullbacks that kind of lead the way and get him yardage. And they've also got LaShawn Daniels, who against Minnesota rushed for 195 yards in that game, and he was really good. And then they've got a third back that they can go to, Akram Wadley, who had 204 yards in about three quarters of the game against Northwestern earlier this year. And he's got some of those Madden joystick kind of moves where he just bounces around and makes yards.
Tom Caker joining us, Hawkeye Report on Iowa. They'll face Michigan State for the Big Ten title in Indianapolis coming up on Saturday. We know that they can run the ball. Passing-wise, may not be the hallmark of their offense, but when they need to go downfield, are they successful at that? Can they do that?
You know, it's kind of weird. I was looking up some stats this week, and they have not completed a pass longer than 39 yards. They've only had four passes of 39 yards or longer since mid-October. They haven't had anything over that since then in terms of like a 40, 50-yard pass play. They've just kind of manage the game, get 15 here, 20 here. Got a lot of those type of plays. C.J. Beathard's really been the guy. I call him the straw that stirs the drink a little bit. He just kind of makes this team go, and he was installed as the starter in January after a little bit of a quarterback controversy with Jake Rudock, who ended up at Michigan and had a really nice season this year. He's just makes plays. He's just one of those guys that finds a way to make a play on a, there were a couple of plays against Indiana where it was third down and 10 and they needed 11 and he would run and get them 11. And he just seems to have that innate ability to make a play.
How is their defense? I mean, they're not giving up a lot of points. So what has been the hallmark of their defense?
It's, a collective unit. There's Josie Jules, maybe kind of been the breakout star of that group at middle linebacker. He has done really well, finished the season second team all Big Ten and a pretty loaded linebacker class in the Big Ten. And he's just a sophomore. And Desmond King, who is tied right now for the all-time record for single-season interceptions at Iowa with 8. And he's probably going to be a first-team All-American, and he's kind of been the breakout, another breakout star, at least on a national level. Iowa fans already knew he was really good. But they're just kind of one of those teams that bend but don't break. They're going to keep guys in front of them. They try to limit giving up big plays. They don't gamble a ton. They don't blitz a ton. But they just kind of gang tackle people and try to shut down the run as much as they can and not give plays up over the top.
Is this been a surprise? I mean, Iowa's always been kind of one of those teams that is led very well, has had some good players. Is this a real surprise?
Oh, it's a most surprise. You know, I've been covering the Ferentz era basically since it began, and there's nothing that's even close to this in terms of a surprise, because they've had good teams under Kirk, too. They've had 11, 10-win teams, but you kind of saw it coming a little bit that, you know, if the things broke right, they could achieve some pretty good things. But this season, before the year and back in January, there were people ready to fire Kirk Ferentz and completely serious about it. I mean, it was his job was hanging in the balance heading into this year, and they had to win, and obviously they've had that kind of year. So from that perspective of just not even expecting this anywhere near this, this has just been a shocking season in a positive way for Iowa.
How have you handicapped this game coming up against Michigan State? Where is Iowa going to struggle, and where can they take advantage?
These are kind of mirror image teams, and that's what makes it interesting. They've had some of the, you know, I've covered a lot of games over the last decade and plus, and one of the hardest hitting games that Iowa has played have been against Michigan State. It's just two really physical, tough teams that play the game in a different way. They're going to try and beat you up, and Iowa's going to stand there, Michigan State's going to stand there, and they're going to slug it out. Interesting stat with both teams. They're both plus 14 in the giveaway takeaway category, so they've just made their living creating turnovers. Michigan State has 14 interceptions this year. Iowa has 17. They cause fumbles. And their quarterbacks don't turn it over. Connor Cook and Beathard both have 4 interceptions total this year. So I think whoever wins the turnover battle is probably going to win this game. And I think one of the other keys is, can Iowa, who's averaging 207 yards in conference play on the ground, can they get a run game going against a Michigan State team that's given up about 120 a game? If Iowa can, I think they're going to have a great shot at pulling the surprise. If not, I think it's going to be on Beathard to make it happen for Iowa.
Has there been a game this year? Because the way I look at this game, I'm seeing like this could go back and forth. This could be a real test. This could be coming down to last possession. I mean, there's a lot of closeness that I feel with this game coming up. Has there been a game like that for Iowa where they were really tested and really had to push themselves and late in the fourth quarter had to make things happen and were able to overcome and get a win?
Yeah, I think two games that jump out, obviously the Wisconsin game up there, a 10-6 game. I mean, it was low scoring, so there wasn't like there was the last possession, but Wisconsin was driving late. They had to get a stop, and they did. And also the Pittsburgh game, and that's an interesting angle because Pitt's coach is Pat Narduzzi, who was Mark Dantonio's defensive coordinator. So some of the same schematic things, but that Pitt tied it up at 24 late, and Beathard leads them down the field, and they get a 57-yard field goal at the final gun and win that game. So those are games where they've had to really kind of navigate some things, both offensively and defensively, and win games late.
Again, Tom Cakert, again, Hawkeye Report, as Iowa takes on Michigan State in Indianapolis coming up on Saturday, part of the Rivals.com network, as Iowa is 12-0. I really appreciate your time. Hope we can catch up with you again.
Okay, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it. Tom Cakert again from Hawkeye Report on Iowa taking on Michigan State. And as I said earlier, this is a kind of game that I think is going to be as closer than we think or at least imagine going late in the game. But this is a grinding team, Iowa. This is a team that runs the ball very well. Time of possession has been a key for them. They are going up against a Michigan State team that's defense has been great at times. And we all know about Connor Cook. But Iowa... Have we really discussed about Iowa this year? Has anybody really dove into Iowa? It's a hard team to get your arms around, but they're basic, right? They run the ball really well. They play pretty good defense. They don't turn the ball over. They don't kill themselves with penalties. They win. They won all their games. They're in close games where they find ways to win. It is that kind of team. It may sound vanilla, and that may be where they are, but this should be a good one in Indianapolis. 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907. And it has been a good year for the Big Ten, when you think about it, because, you know, at the beginning of the year, with all the eyes on Ohio State and wondering, okay, let's go other teams around the conference and try to peg some other teams that we like. We didn't expect a Northwestern team to surprise. In fact, if we remember when they beat Stanford at the beginning of the season, yeah, it's like, how could Stanford lose to Northwestern? Well, we find out later in the season, losing to Northwestern isn't such a bad thing to, you know, that, that can happen to you. They went 10-2. Iowa, as he said, this is a team that is surprising as they go 12-0. You have Michigan State, not Ohio State. It has been a pleasant start to the Harbaugh era in Ann Arbor. There's a lot to like what's going on in the Big Ten. I still think James Franklin is really going to boost Penn State over the next couple of years. You're going to have to contend with them. So I love what the conference has done this year, and Iowa being a very big pleasant surprise. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Also, don't forget, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio if that's how you'd like to communicate with us. And you can also check us out on Facebook at Tony D Radio Show. More on the College Football Conference Championships and, of course, the NFL this weekend coming up on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Glad you've been with us as we continue through the night tonight. So we've broken down Clemson and Iowa on this show, two of the top teams in the country, plus Green Bay with their win over Detroit. Oh, goodness. Terry in Houston wants to talk Dallas Cowboys. What's up, my man?
Well, thank you for taking my call. And you know what, Jerry, listen to some reason. And the reason is you need to take Johnny Manziel and go into the Lions and see if he survives. That way everybody in America and everybody in the world knows if Johnny is real or a no deal. Thank you, and give me your opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. I heard Trent Dilfer. There's a clip going around from the Monday night game, and I did not see this live. I only saw a clip of it, where Trent Dilfer has this commentary about Johnny Manziel, in which he says, it is smartly done by Dilfer, because he sets up that Manziel has been coddled his whole life. He hasn't been disciplined. Even at Texas A&M, he was never disciplined for some of his off-the-field antics, and he was rewarded everywhere he went. And he gets to Cleveland, and he's messed up a number of times, and this is the lesson you need to learn in life. And it's a brilliant commentary, because it's something that when you listen to it, you go, yeah, absolutely, I agree with that. But when you take a step back, like I've done, and said, okay, yeah, that may be right, but in the NFL, this isn't a disciplinary business. The goal isn't to teach life lessons. I don't think fans really care if you're sticking it to a player so that he knows who's boss. That's between you and the player. What fans want, and ultimately the business of the sport, is to win games and keep the passion alive. The thing about sports is this. You either want people very excited about your team, or you want them very angry at your team. But you never want apathy. Apathy is dangerous. So you must continue to dwell in keeping the passion alive. The Browns need to know exactly what they have in Johnny Manziel. And if they don't, shame on them. Dallas Cowboys, if they brought in Johnny Manziel, I guarantee you would at least know at some point if he could play in this league or not. If the Cowboys can get him for a song, you know, for nothing, then they should take an opportunity to see. It may be crazy, but you know what? It's no different than bringing in Matt Cassel. It's no different than trying to bring in Brandon Whedon and trying to convince the world he throws a beautiful pass. Right? I mean, you're not dumping Tony Romo for Manziel. You're just seeing if Johnny Manziel can play in this league or not. I don't know if he can or not. I mean, I think he'll have some success, but then it will fade quickly. That's kind of my guess. But if you're the Browns, to play the discipline game by starting Austin Davis is insulting to the fan base. People are paying good money for tickets. You owe them an entertainment and an entertaining product. The fans who are attending that game do not need to see Austin Davis play quarterback, because if you believe he gives you the best chance to win, you're lying to your fan base. You have a first-round draft pick on the bench that you're disciplining and at the expense of the entertainment factor for the fan base. Now, I don't think that you should be thinking entertainment every single time, but your fans do need to know what the hell you're doing. And drafting a kid in the first round to play quarterback and then never using him in that role, and instead playing Brian Hoyer, playing Josh McCown, bringing in Josh McCown to play him, and now bringing in Austin Davis and having him start is insulting. And the Browns should need to change that. And I appreciate Dilfer's sentiment. He's been in the league. I wasn't. And if this works, all right, fine. But I just don't think the business of a team should be disciplined players and teaching them life lessons. I've never had that. Lord knows I've made so many immature mistakes in my business. And I was lucky to have program directors that sat me down and said, kid, let me tell you something. You do that again, I'm pulling you off the air. That you can be edgy, you can be this way, you can have that characteristic, but you can't cross this line. The FCC will fine us. And I had good PDs that were stern and yet willing to discipline me, sure. But in the end, the business was to protect the company, not to make me grow as a human being. They were in a business, and I needed to comply with the business. Same thing here. Play Johnny Manziel. Let him play. If he's the best option, let him play. Discipline him later. Find another way to do it. All right, tonight, heartfelt moment today on television. We all know Greg Popovich hates doing sideline interviews. We know he hates them. And people who interview him hate doing it. But this one was special. Listen to Greg Popovich.
Welcome back to Memphis. I'm here with San Antonio coach Greg Popovich.
Are we on?
Yes, we are.
I got to honestly tell you, this is the first time I've enjoyed doing this ridiculous interview we're required to do. It's because you're here and you're back with us. Welcome back, baby.
Well, thank you very much. I lay in the hospital for months hoping to do this again.
Now ask me a couple of inane questions.
Okay, with less than 4 minutes to go in this game, you bench your entire, in the first quarter, bench your entire first unit. Was that back-to-back or upset with the way
No, they were playing like crap, so we put in different guys. You'd have done the same thing.
You're shooting under 35%. Are you happy with the shot selection?
Happy?
No, you never.
Am I happy?
I've heard that before.
Craig, come on, get back
to
the swing of things. You too, baby. Love you.
Back to you, Kevin.
That was TNT's tonight. TNT. Craig Sager back on the sidelines with Greg Popovich, the old nemesis. I thought that was one of the more heartwarming, wonderful moments that we had. And a night where we had a lot of cool things, the Hail Mary and UCLA playing very well to beat number one Kentucky. That's right up there. Greg Popovich is awful at these, but it's kind of a game now with the reporters. But he loves Craig Sager. Craig Sager's son filled in for him last year when Sager was in the hospital. And he told his son, I'm glad to be doing this with you, but I'd rather do it with your dad. I hope your dad comes back. Well, his dad did come back. Popovich was great. That was really cool. A really, really good moment. 800-777-2907. Don't forget, like us on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show. Hey, plus, if you're the next one, we hit a milestone. Be the milestone. Follow us on Twitter as well, at Tony D Radio. Coming up, we'll talk about the Green Bay Packers and their victory over the Detroit Lions. Bill Huber joins us. We'll talk to him about the Packers and the wild finish to that game, including the face mask call that either was or wasn't another controversy in your National Football League. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.